The story of Bilam always intrigued me, and I'm sure for many of you as well. It's a most unusual parsha, the parsha of Balak. Basically, the Jewish people don't appear in parshas Balak. It's a story that that they're just sort of they're the subjects of what's happening, of the interaction between Balak, the king of Moab, and his desire to have the Jewish people cursed, hiring the sorcerer prophet Bilam. The Jewish people do appear at the very end, and it's a very tragic. It's a horrible mistake that the Jewish people engage in, a sin. They're engaging with the Baal Peor, the idolatry of Peor, and and their actions with the Bnos Midyan, with the daughter of Midyan, and Pinchas coming in, and of course killing the head of the tribe of Shimon. But that we often associate that final story with more of the next parsha with Pinchas and Hashem's reaction to the behaviors and to the actions of Pinchas, and then dealing with repercussions of the people's sin. But the parsha primarily deals with the story again of Balak and Bilam. We do assume, Chazal assume, that the sin of with the Jewish people with the daughters of Midian was based upon Bilam's advice that these women, these girls, should entice the Jewish men and to encourage them ultimately to worship the Peor. But I want to focus this evening is on Bilam himself and who exactly he was and what was the role that Bilam played. The question is that there seems to be a contradiction because there's a Rashi towards the beginning of this week's Parsha that tells us that this Bilam person was very special, which we know just by reading the Parsha itself. Bilam has a relationship with God. God speaks to Bilam. Most people, Hashem does not have a conversation with. Most people, there is no conversation. God acts, and people are this are the recipients of what God does. But here, God actually talks to Bilam, and Bilam receives prophecy from God. He conveys that prophecy, and therefore Rashi tells us this is in Perek Chaf Beis and Pasuk Hey towards the very beginning of the parsha. Rashi says the following: Yim Tomar b'nei Ma Shrosh Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shchinaso Goy Rasha. We assume then we'll see in a moment that the Bilam was this very wicked person, wasn't Jewish, very wicked. Why in the world would God, why would God allow him to prophesize? Why would God convey messages through such an individual? We would normally think that a prophet should be someone who's so holy and pure and kadosh and tahor, and such individuals to be on a certain madrega, a certain level of purity to receive a prophecy. And Bilam, why in the world would God convey prophecy through Bilam? So Rashi answers, and Rashi is quoting Chazal. Rashi is quoting the Gemara, our sages. Lomar Nevius Chazarnu. This is to answer the claim of the nations of the world. If they will ever claim in the future, hey, God, if we had a prophet, maybe like Moshe, similar to Moshe, we would have been righteous just like the Jewish people. We would have done teshuva, repented. We would have seen the light, seen the truth. And but you never gave us such a prophet. Moshe would lead the Jewish people. We had such a person like Moshe, so maybe things would have turned around and be much different. So God understood that was a good claim that the nations had, and therefore God gave them this prophet Bilam, who would give the people an opportunity perhaps to turn themselves around and to warrant God's deserving of God's blessing. What happened? God gave them Bilam, and nothing happened. They didn't turn themselves around, continued their terrible ways, And therefore, they can't blame it on God that God never gave them such a prophet. But on the surface, it seems like this Bilam is like an incredible person. There's some Midrashim that say he even was equal, and some say even greater in some levels to Moshe. So that's on the one hand, he seems to be this very incredible person, this very gifted, and someone who was provided access to God almost like no other person. At the same time, at the very end of the Torah, and describing Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says in Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Yud. Again, this is the very end of the Torah in the Zos HaBracha. We read this on Simchas Torah. The Torah says, "V'lo kam Navi Ol B'Yisrael k'Moshe," that there was no prophet the Yisrael in Israel like Moshe. Asher Yadu Hashem Panim Al Panim, knew God face to face. And so here, the Sifri, so this sounds like no one equal Moshe. So it sounds like it wasn't such an equal a deal with the nations of the world, right? That no one was on par to Moshe. So the Medrash says, no, that's not the case. You didn't understand the pasuk, you didn't read the pasuk carefully. Lo kam od b'Yisrael, amongst the Jewish people, there is no greater prophet than Moshe. Ava b'umos ha'olam, but amongst the nations of the world, come, they also got a prophet equal to Moshe, or maybe even surpassing some versions of it. And who was that prophet? That prophet was Bilam. That was Bilam. So Bilam was this very special, very gifted, someone who had, again, this access to God unparalleled, at least among all the other people of the nations of the world. And on some level, he was equal or even perhaps surpassed Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of his level of prophecy. Now, the other thing we know for sure, certainly about Bilam, is another Medrash that says that Bilam is not the first time Bilam impacted the Jewish people. The first time actually was 40 years earlier back, or even before that, back in Egypt, when Paro was deciding what to do with the Jewish people, getting very nervous. So the Gemara says he had three advisors. Those three advisors were Eov. Eov was one of them. Yisro was another. And the third was Bilam. The third was, and Bilam was the one who gave him the advice that he sort of saw in the future that there'd be someone would emerge from the Jewish people, a baby would be born, who would lead the Jewish people out of Egypt. And he gave Paro the advice of throwing, you know, every baby, child, that baby boy that was born into the Nile. So according to the Medrash, like, you know, Bilam was this horrible person, right? He basically was engaged in genocide, right? Encouraging that, telling Paro had to kill all these Jewish babies. So not a good track record. Now, in terms of this comparison between Bilam and Moshe, and obviously it's very divergent, right? That Moshe is the leader of the Jewish people, that Moshe is our greatest prophet. No one compares to Moshe. Moshe gave you know, brought down the Torah, and was defender of our people. And Bilam, right, just the opposite, right? Bilam was willing to curse the Jewish people, had God permitted it. He's willing to allow Balak to pay him all the money in the world to curse the Jewish people. So where did things go so wrong? So I saw the Torah Tamima says when he was in Valajan, Torah Tamima spent the first half of his life in Europe, in Valajan. The second half of his life, he actually came to America. And he spent the latter part of his life in America. And his father, of course, was the Aruch HaShulchan. The Torah Tamima says when he was in Valajan, he heard quoted the name of Chaim Valajaner, a parable to try to explain the difference between Bilam and Moshe. He compared it to two birds who both are very much aware of the sunrise. Which two birds? One is the Nesher, one is the eagle, and the other one is the Atalev, the other one is a bat. They both are very much aware of sunrise. The eagle, right, sunrise for the eagle is time to wake up. It's time to begin chirping and to fly in the sky and to see the world, experience the world. The bat on just the opposite. The bat knows sunrise is something that tells the bat time to hide, going back, going to the cave, go to hide, go to sleep. right? For the bad sunrise is a bad thing. For the eagle, sunrise is something very, very beautiful. So they both have access to the sunrise, but the sunrise does something very different for them. Right? It tells them something very differently. So apparently Chaim Volozhin said, when it comes to Bilam and Moshe, they both had access to God. Right? They both, like the sunrise is in the parable, is the access to God. Both have access to God. But both of them access God, and this is a little bit Kabbalistic, they both access God when they wanted to access God. For Bilam, it was the time, again, from a Kabbalistic perspective, when there are certain sparks that are out there, there's certain spirits, times of judgment where God could be angry, could be judging us, and it's a time of danger, often associated with the night, and that and Bilam knew how to access that time to sort of to harm us, and Moshe he knew the time of God's rachamim, of God's chesed, compassion and mercy. And that's when and Moshe, that's why Moshe is taught by God. He knows how to access the Yigal Midos HaRachum, 13 attributes of mercy. Because they both knew how to access God, but they accessed God at the times that for them were most beneficial. For Bilam was to harm, to curse, and for Moshe was to bless and to teach and to lead the Jewish people. That's a very interesting idea by Reb Chaim Volozhin. I'd like to share with you one other possibility that I saw several people. Break down, and that is the following: that at the end of the day, what was the role of Bilam? Like, why does God give Bilam? Why does he does he give Bilam such access to be able to tap in to divine ideas and the divine desires and is able to transmit messages from God? And it basically comes down to a question of, what is the role of a Navi? What is the role of a prophet? So when you study Sefer Nevi'im, or even the Torah itself, right, the prophet sometimes has a role of inspiring, has the role of cautioning, right? The Navi, often you'll see, especially in Sefer Malachim, the Navi would would be the individual who would give guidance to the king. Hey, don't do that. If you do that, the God's not going to be happy. Oh, you should do this. This is something that God will favor, that God will, and the Navi often would go to the king when it felt that the king was making mistakes, was veering from the path of not serving God properly. So that was one role of the Navi, to be a spiritual mentor, a spiritual advisor. The other role of the Navi was someone to tell the future, that God would give a message, and God would want the Navi to tell the king, tell the Jewish people, tell the nations of the world, in the case of Yonah, of what's going to be, and give as a warning that the following is going to happen, and you need to turn things around, or other X, Y, and Z is going to unfold. Now, what role did Bilam play? And what's interesting is that Bilam is not the only non-Jewish person who receives prophecy in the Torah. This is important to understand. In other words, Rashi says that the nations of the world are going to question why you didn't give us a Navi. Give us a Navi, a prophet, we would have done teshuvah. Well, there were other non-Jews who received prophecy. Very famous individuals. For example, Lavan. Right? God communicates to Lavan. Right? God tells Lavan, right? That's Uncle Lavan, right? Yaakov's uncle tells Uncle Lavan, hey, don't harm. I'm sorry, Yaakov's a father-in-law. So right, tells the Uncle Lavan, tells his father-in-law, don't harm Yaakov. Right, God communicates to Lavan. Avimelech, right? God communicates to Avimelech. Tells Avimelech, right, not to harm Moshe. Right, I'm sorry, Avram and Sarah. So there are other people that are not Jewish. That God communicates in the Torah, so Bilam is not unique in that aspect. So what was unique about Bilam? So what's important to understand is that you have to look at the prophecies. to see what exactly did he convey? What was so special about him? Why is it we have an entire parsha, right? That basically discusses him and his role, which you don't have for Lavan, and we don't have for Avimelech. We specifically have for Bilam, and Bilam. Again, I'll also mention one more point before we look at the prophecies. Bilam was not the same as Moshe. Right? The Rambam is very clear about this. The Rambam says that no prophet was on equal footing with Moshe. Right? Moshe, and this, the psukim are clear about this. Right? The pasuk I just read to you in Zosa Bracha is how did Moshe communicate with God? Panim el panim, face to face, which the Rambam and Chazal understand that basically Moshe was wide awake and almost at any point could have access, could converse with God. Bilam, on the other hand, and Bilam says this specifically in this week's parsha when Balak, hires him to curse the Jewish people. So Bilam says, "Vayomer Eliyahu," it's at the beginning of the parsha, "Linu fo halayla, stay overnight." Right, the messengers of Balak come to him, and he said, "Oh, Shavosias come to var, Hashem yidaber Hashem ilai. I will tell you what God tells me, but you want me to go with you? Stay overnight." Why do you have to tell him to stay overnight? Why couldn't he just, pick up the phone, dial God, and say, "Hey, Hashem, God, these people showed up at my front door. They're asking me to show up with them, to go with them, to curse. Should I go or not?" Moshe could do that, right? Moshe was panim al panim. Moshe at any point could access Hashem, but Bilam could only do it at night. The Rama explains that's all prophets. That's how they received the prophecy. It was at night. It was Bamaros, it was Balila that they would go to sleep, and in a dream God would appear to them, and they would then interpret the dream based on what they saw, whatever the vision was, and then they would then share that with whoever they needed to communicate that message with. So Bilam was not on the same level as Moshe on the level of prophecy, level of the strength of the prophecy. So what was he on level with Moshe? Right, again, at the same time, Chazal say that on some level he was like Moshe. So he wasn't like Moshe in terms of the ability to communicate with God at any point, but on some level they were equal. And at the same time, what I want to show you right now, he was also a little different than the people like Lavan and Avimelech. So what was the difference? So if I read through this correctly, there's four prophecies that Bilam conveys, right? Balak tries to get him to curse the Jewish people. There's four things that he says, and it's very interesting. I just returned with my wife from the Rocky Mountains. We went to the National Park, and you're standing at certain places, and you look down, you see the mountains and the valleys and the snow on the top of the mountains and the beautiful greenery and the trees, and like you have this like vision of, you can see like the entire world like opens, unfolds before you, and Bilam, that's what he asked for, right? Whenever he's going to curse the Jewish people, he always asks to be brought to the top of the hill, or the top of the mountain, and to look down the Jewish people. And if you think about it, if you just know your topography, where the Jewish people were situated at that point, the Jewish people were they're just about to cross over the Jordan. They're on the east side of the Jordan, and there's the plains, right? The Jordan Valley. So the Jordan River, the way it works is that on the west side of the Jordan is Israel, and on the east side is modern day Jordan, and it's a valley where the river runs through. And on either side there's the mountains, right? There's Jordan, there's this huge mountain range, and then in Israel, right, you climb up the mountains. That's you go up to like Mali Adumim and Shalayim, right? Everything's in the mountains there. Hebron, it's all in the mountains. And so the Jewish people are in the valley, getting ready to cross, and they're looking for a place to access into Israel, the various nations that live there. And Bill wants to be brought up to the mountains. He can look down and see the Jewish people, right? To have a certain perspective. And that's very symbolic. Why does he need to see the Jewish people? So on the simple level, he wants to see who he's cursing. Right, he wants to like curse the entire people, so he needs to see them. But I think on a much deeper level, he needs to be in a place where he can have perspective. In other words, he's going to be conveying messages, and this is going to be the key difference between what he does and what the prophecies that say that people like Lavan and Avimelech receive. He's going to convey messages that are eternal messages, that are relevant for all time. When God communicates with Lavan, with Avimelech, it's very specific. It's for that time. You know, God tells Lavan, don't harm Avram. Don't harm Yaakov. That's for that very specific time and place. You know, it's just to do a certain task. What Bilam is going to do, similar to Moshe, and this is the comparison, is going to convey prophecies that are going to be relevant for not just for that point, but there are going to be prophecies predicting the future. And so let me show you just a couple of examples. So the first one appears in Parachov Gimel, Pasuk Tes. And again, Bilam always warns Balak, right? I can only do what God tells me to do. Some people always wonder, so why is Bilam such a bad person? He's like, he's very honest, right? And he, at the end of the day, he doesn't curse the Jewish people. Well, his problem with Bilam is that he's always, you know, he's like the little child who, like, you know, you say no, will never take no for an answer and keeps on, like, you know, but please, 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 right? So Bilam, everything God says, you know, don't, Bilam always says, no, I want to go. So God has to say, fine, says, fine, you can go, but only what I want. Like, he's not doing, basically, he's interested in the money, right? He tells Balak, if you can give me all the money in the world, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Rashi there, Chazal say, what's he basically telling Balak? I want all the money in the world. Right? That's what he's interested in the money. And he had no problem cursing the Jewish people. But at the end of the day, you can only, as a prophet, you can only convey prophecy that God gave him. So what's the first prophecy? Again, Parak Sof Gimel, Pasuk Tes. The first prophecy is, Kimerosh Turim Erana Migvos Ashirenu Him Am Vadad Yishkon Vagoyim Lo Yitzchashav. From its origins, I see it rock-like, and from the hills do I see it. So from the very beginning, and Chazal try to understand what all these phrases mean. Some suggest that the Jewish people, that our roots were strong, that we come from, Rashi says, I the avos imos, right? We have good yichus. Right, we come from Avram and from Sarah, right? From Yitzchak and Rivka and Sarah and Rachel and Leah and Yaakov. We have very strong roots, which gives us a firm basis, and we were given a wonderful role models to emulate. And it's going to be very hard to harm the Jewish people because we had such role models. I remember the rabbi who the shul I grew up in, Rabbi Shai Klimnik, who passed away, unfortunately, not that long ago. I remember once walking home from shul with him, my father and some other people, and some of the conversation of yichus came up about, you know, people, you know, where they came from and who's your grandmother, your grandfather, you know, and you know, we often talk in Judaism about my yichus, you know, who are my forebears, who are the ones who came before me. So remember, Rabbi Klimek said he has the best yichus. What do you mean he's the best yichus? He says, I come directly from Avram Avinu. Right? So right? So that's all of us, right? And those of us born Jewish, those of us who join the Jewish people, are all Ben Avram, Bas Avram Avinu. Right? That's what the Pasuk says, right? The Jewish people, it's going to be hard to get them because they have incredible lineage, the Jewish people. And Hem Am Levadad Yishkon. And we are a people that will dwell in solitude, and not be reckoned amongst the nations. And again, there's many ways of interpreting what this means, that we will dwell alone. On the one hand, it can seem like a negative that we're going to dwell alone. On the other hand, that we're going to remain firm in our values. That we're not going to. We're going to. That there's always going to be. We're always going to exist. That maybe some will assimilate, but in totality, we'll never assimilate. Right? That we'll always stay strong. To our values, and we will not be reckoned amongst the nations. Again, we won't. You know, I'm studying right now the early period of colonial times. I'm going to be hopefully teaching a class on American Jewish history, and I forget all the names. But there were. You know, we always talk about American Jewish history about, unfortunately, assimilation, and you know, it's not like a 20th, 21st century issue. Back in the 1600s, there was assimilation amongst Jews. But we've never completely assimilated. which is not the case with other groups who came to this country. I never knew, and I was studying this. There are other groups, like I forget some of their names, but there are other religious groups who came to this country from Europe, and they no longer exist. They totally assimilate into America, American melting pot, but the Jewish people, we've unfortunately we've lost so many, but we're still here, right? We're still here. So again, so here, what's Bilaam doing? So God through Bilaam is saying, you Balak, you want to harm the Jewish people? They're not going anywhere. They have incredible roots. They're always going to be around. They're not going to disappear. And how many are there of them? Mima nafar Yaakov mispas rova Yisrael, who has counted the dust of Yaakov and numbered a quarter of Israel. So that's just the first. Again, there's a little more, but that's the first prophecy. The second, I'm not going to have time to go through all these, but just a few more examples. In Parachov Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the second time around, he says, Loi beat Avon B'Yakov V'Mal B'Yisrael. Hashem L'Kav Imos Ras Melchol. These are very famous psukim. You see them in our davening at different times throughout the year. Here it's, God has perceived no iniquity in Yaakov. He saw no diversity in Israel. And this is incredible, coming from Hashem, after Jewish people did obviously have many faults and made many mistakes over time, and even during the period of the last 40 years in the desert. But nonetheless, Hashem still sees very beautiful things about the Jewish people. It could be specifically about Yaakov Avinu himself, Lord be Avin Yaakov, Lord Amal Viv Yisrael. God is with them. Of course, we invoke this pasuk on Rosh Hashanah. It uses the pasuk Asrua. Kel Motziyam Yitzrayim, Kisofos Ra'im Lo. It is God who brought them out of Egypt according to the power of his loftiness. Lo Nachash B'Yakov, Lo Kesem Yisrael. Perhaps unlike Bilaam, there is no divination in Yaakov, no sorcery in Israel. Okay, so that's. And then another famous pasuk, Haim Am Klavi Yakum Kari Yisnasa O Yishkav Aad Yochal Teref Adam Chalim Yishteh. And if you think you're going to harm the Jewish people, you should know that the people will arise like a lion cub and raise itself like a lion. It will not lie down till it consumes prey and drink the blood of its slain. Right? You want to harm the Jewish people? They're not going anywhere. In fact, they're going to rise up and they're going to overtake their enemies. So all these. I'm trying to demonstrate is what Bilaam is doing, what the role of Bilaam is that he's not just a one-time prophecy for that time and place, but this is for the future. This is for all of history, how history is going to unfold. The Jewish people, that we're eternal, we're forever, and as much as the nation is trying to harm us, and unfortunately they do harm us over time, but we're here forever. We will never disappear, and at times we will completely overcome, and ultimately we will be standing tall at the end of times. And the last time, the last prophecy about the Jewish people is in Parak Chav Dalad, Pasuk Hey, and here Bilaam says the following, and again some very famous psukim, probably the most famous one: Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, O Yaakov, your dwelling place is Israel. Rashi famously describes or explains that this is referring to the Jewish people, their modesty, or the beauty that God sees within them, that they're careful that the entrances of their tents don't face one another, but they're very sensitive to, again, to the privacy of each other. And again, this prophecy goes on for about four or five psukim. Again, he invokes the imagery of the Ari of the lion, Pasuk Tes, Harash, Achav, Kari, Chavim, Yikimenu, Varecha, Baruch, Varecha, Aror. He crouched and laid down like a lion, and like a lion club, who can stand him up? Those who bless you are blessed, and those who curse you are cursed, which is certainly something we all remember from early in the Torah. That's when God says about Avram. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. And who gets that blessing? You could argue maybe all of Avram's children get that blessing. Maybe Shmuel's children too. Though it's a reference to the Jewish people. right? It's the Jewish people, right? Yitzchak, Yaakov, they're the ones that those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed. And finally, is one more prophecy. This prophecy is not directed at the Jewish people themselves, but at the nations of the world. Right, this final prophecy is a prophecy for the nations of the world moving forward in the future. Parachof Talad Pasuk Yud Zion. And here he says that, let me get the exact words. Here he starts talking about what's going to, he starts listing the nations. Again, to the Jewish people, that there's a star that's going to be born. Erenu v'lo atosh, Erenu v'lo karov. Darach kochav Yaakov, a star will be born from Yaakov. Who is that star? So we usually refer to that as the Mashiach. But it's the Messianic age that that someone is going to ultimately be born and will herald this Messianic times. And what's going to happen? So it starts, he then begins to talk about Moab and Edom and Seir and Amalek. You know, they're all mentioned here in these psukim. And all these nations, one by one, are going to fall by the wayside. They're all going to be defeated and conquered. And the Jewish people will emerge strong, and, victorious. And then at the very end, talks about the Cana, the descendants of Yisro, who, though they live near Amalek, they'll be spared because they're going to follow after God. And so to wrap things up, I asked the question, who is Bilam? So Bilam was given to the nations of the world as a prophet, but not a prophet to guide them like Moshe and so many other prophets, you know, to be a spiritual mentor, because that he was terrible at, right, according to us. Right, he was a horrible person. That he was one who advised up Paro to kill the Jewish babies, and he's the one who's willing to curse the Jewish people. And you know, as long as you pay him, give him the right amount of money, he'll do whatever, you know, whatever it takes. He's not a good person, but he was someone who God used to explain to the nations of the world, as well as to the Jewish people, how history will unfold, and that if the nations of the world want to be blessed, if they ultimately want to achieve and to be granted divine salvation and blessings, so there was a path for them to take. Right, it was to respect the Jewish people, understand that the Jewish people are an eternal nation, and to not be like Edom and not to be like Amalek and Moab. But instead, you know, mimic the Canaan, right? The sense of Yisro, who saw the light and recognized the truth and were able to be respectful towards the Jewish people. That would be the path that they should take. And so on many levels, God gave the nations of the world a prophet who outlined for them what they could do to achieve blessings and salvation and redemption that they could turn things around if they would follow the path that Bilam would that God through Bilam would present to them, and so on that level, like, he did fulfill the role that God envisioned for him. Again, he didn't want to do that. That was not what he intended to do. And ultimately, Bilam winds up, we're told later on, the Torah winds up being killed. The war with the Jews, they have a war with Midian, but God, in a sense, you know, sort of uses him. And Bilam himself, again, could have taken the merits seriously. And Bilam himself could have done teshuvah, but he didn't listen to his own words that God channeled through him. But the message is the eternal message. It's to give us strength, us the Jewish people, that God does not forsake us, for us to remember our roots and who we come from, and that even when times are very difficult and painful, recognize that as a nation, we will always survive. Right? Unfortunately, individuals along the way, for whatever reason, God will take at certain points, that the Jewish people themselves will be around forever, and the nations of the world, they have a choice in how they want to respond, how they want to for themselves history to unfold, how they want for God to judge them and to view them. They can continue along the path of destruction and of pain and of seeking to harm us, or they can recognize that there's another path that they can take. They can they can embrace the role of the Jewish people, and we're going to ultimately serve as Yishayahu tells us, as this light to the nation, recognize that there's a God, there's ethics and morality in the world, and that if they choose that path, so then they can be blessed like the Canaan we're going to be blessed. And ultimately, it's up to them which path they want to take. So this was so Bilam. It turns out so Bilam plays a critical role in the Torah, and like Moshe, he gives he delivers prophecies not just for the moment, but for these eternal messages that each and every generation are extremely relevant, powerful, and important to learn from, and to hopefully embrace and to make the right choices. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.